Recording.
I think we're running out of anything to catch up. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this video of the Pixie Park District Emergency Preparedness Committee. It is August 22nd, 2024, at 4:11 p.m. in the Vincent Community Center. I will now call the roll. Director Lugo.
Here.
And I'm Director Levine. Public members, Doug Bennington.
Here.
Lisa Corona.
Here.
Katie Glover.
Here.
Adrian Johnson. Hi. Luna Dell. Hi. Paul Mock.
Here.
Dave Spass.
Here.
All right. And we can back and move to public comments. So this is for items not listed on the agenda. Would anyone like to make a public comment? No? Okay. I'll check the Zoom. No. All right. Moving right along. Oh.
Siegel sent the same.
Oh, right. I didn't see that. I see that. I can read that. So this is a public comment from Alan Siegel, coordinator of Wildcat Fireboys Community, dated today, August 22nd, well, 204. One, I have received approval for $5,000 cost share funding for fuel reduction from Diablo Fire City Council. This is the 10th year I have received such funding from DFSC, and I will be working as a volunteer in coordination with the guidance approval of Captain Patrick McIntyre of the East Bay Regional Parks District. Two, I'm very happy to report that the East Bay Regional Parks District has completed the most extensive summer fuel reduction that has occurred during the 31 years I have lived on Transition Court. The work was done in the very steep right at Bed Street in the first 100 feet behind / east of the homes on Kensington Court and Kensington Road. In addition to the initial treatment by the goat herd, East Bay Regional Parks District brought in an outstanding crew that was assisted by the remote control masticator. Not sure what that is.
That is awesome.
The results were impressive, and in some, but not all cases, extending 100 to 200 feet behind the homes, I have examined and photographed the entire area. Despite the incredible improvement, there were a few areas behind and below homes on Kensington Court that were not treated, and Captain Patrick McIntyre was very responsive, extending the work in a few areas. Also, he approves of our use of the DFSC funding to clear a few additional areas behind and below the campus east and southern extension of Kensington Court and a few other sections that are crucial emergency evacuation routes. We hope to continue all efforts to seek further funding for Measure X, DFSC, and every possible source, and to continue to educate and encourage homeowners to increase their efforts at fuel reduction around their homes and to hold additional home inspection tours this fall with Kensington, Elstree, Park, People, Pandora, DFSC. Ooh, please, more commas next time, Alan. For in-the-field demonstration of home hardening and fuel reduction, Alan Siegel, coordinator of Wildcat Firewise Community, August 22nd, 2024. Thank you, Alan, for that comment. And getting to do that before I had my water. All right. Any comments from members of the committee before we move on? All right. We move to adoption of consent items. So the one consent item we have is the approval of the minutes from last month's emergency preparedness regular meeting. Does anyone want to pull that from the consent calendar?
I have a question.
Yeah, go for it.
I might have, at the risk of embarrassing myself, I might have missed this, but I'm looking at the minutes, page 2, the top there says new business report in the 2023-24 grand jury, blah, 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 okay? And did this committee, I hope I wasn't sleeping, but did we approve just the findings of F11 and 12 through 16 and recommendation 3 through 5 and not the others? Was it just meant to, and that's what I'm looking at the, I don't think this is divergent at all. I mean, here's the resolution. And in fact, all it deals with is LRADs. And I thought this committee agreed that there were plenty of other findings and recommendations in there that I would consider equally important, if not more important. And did we decide that we were just going to focus on LRAD findings and recommendations?
That was my
yeah.
recollection.
Yeah, that was mine.
Why did we do that?
I knew we're here.
Part of the idea was to the board of director meetings have been going very long, and there's been a lot of deliberation on items and very in-depth discussion, and we thought that to sort of ease the passage of these things, focusing on a specific item as opposed to the entire grand jury report might focus the scope of those discussions. As it turned out, that didn't help either. We still didn't act on the resolution.
But we do have this item on this agenda, since it didn't, that resolution wasn't adopted,
mm-hmm.
to talk about.
Yes.
If there are other.
I'm not following.
Well, we can revisit the discussion about whether or not we want to endorse the rest of the grand jury report today.
Or at least pick and choose a little more than just one thing.
For that. But I do think the minutes are accurately reflect what we discussed last.
Okay. I'll stay with it.
I'll abstain.
Okay. So otherwise, I'm.
Motion to accept the minutes.
Second. Oh, go for it.
As is.
Okay. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Motion carries 6-0-1. Moving right along. No business. New business. Yes. Discussion and recommendation to the board of action KPD could take towards implementing the parking changes requested by residents. This is Mark Joe's Director Medugo's item. Would you like to lead us off?
Sure. I have heard specifically from Paul and Vita Doro at the board meetings, and I think they have been one of the big lobbyists for implementing the parking changes to assist in making evacuation faster. And then also Johnny informed us that the residents were also asking for those changes. Johnny, you can probably chime in for with more information. So I thought, I know evacuation is the responsibility of our police, but if there's something that the district can do, let's cook something up. Let's cook something up. Johnny?
Hi, I have some visual slides that I can kind of help illustrate this. Let me see if I can put this up. To share this. Are you seeing something?
Yes.
Okay. Took some snapshots. This is Lennox Road between Kingston and Beverly. This was a concern that was brought to my attention during National Night Out. As you can see, it's quite crowded, parking on both sides, and this is kind of a pinch point. If you see further down the road where that wooden fence is, that area right over there has no parking on both sides because it's quite narrow at that point as well. But some of the residents were saying that there's a large van. I don't know if it's the van in this particular picture, that parks in this area and makes it difficult to pass through. So this was one area of concern that you can see. This is York. You can see all the cars are parked on this side of the street on the left side, facing to the end of the cul-de-sac. This was one of the cul-de-sacs that Lieutenant Harms was identifying as a need to do parking changes to reverse the parking to the other side so that the cars can face in the other direction. And this is Canyon facing downhill. And you can see there's an interesting parking configuration here, to say the least. So all these cars are facing uphill, which there has been concern with residents that live on Purdue and above. When there's a case of an evacuation, that these cars would need to turn around and go the other direction. And then with emergency vehicles coming up the hill, how, you know, that will just compound itself. I have the document that Lieutenant Harms was working on circa 2020 before the health lockdowns were put into place, which kind of disrupted this momentum. I'm happy to share this out, but Lieutenant Harms shared this with me when he went on retirement. So I had also please put, yes?
Please do send it out to the
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I will. And then I put together a few slides last year to do a proposal on, you know, red flag parking day awareness, which I can also include in this as well. Anything from converting this letter to something else. I know this was a letter that's available on the website for residents to print out and remind neighbors about parking, to public awareness campaigns on electronic signs during red flags days. This is an outdated magnet that we have that's been in use, and then we've converted this to the website and now pushing out the red flag warning emails subscription, which we have close to 900 people on that list now. And there's different ways we can reach the community when pushing out red flag or parking awareness. So I can include that to everybody, but I think the most important thing was to really see these areas of concern on Lenox, on York, and which also includes Windsor and St. Albans. But this one was the one example that I wanted to, you know, highlight. And then Kenyon.
And Willamette.
Yeah, I think Willamette is the change too.
Yeah.
Because that just funnels everyone up to Purdue.
Yep. And Willamette.
You'll all be all stuck. That's not it.
All right. So, not quite there yet.
Okay. Well, I guess one thing. Thank you, Donnie. That was amazing. Actually, I had, you know, when we were doing the harms, I thought we were talking about permanent changes for the parking. And then Johnny's talking about red flag changes. And I'm just wondering, should we pursue both? Can we pursue both? What can we do? I mean, do we write a resolution for the KPPCSD to read to start working on this? Or like, what can we do? That's what I'm asking.
It's a good question. The most immediate point, of course, as we all know, is our roads are owned by the county. So any changes that get made ultimately have to run through the county transportation, something.
Oh, yeah. Transportation authority?
Yeah, that sounds right. Contra-Crest Transportation Authority, that sounds right.
I think it's actually, in this case, Public Works.
Oh, it's
Public Works.
Yeah, see?
You should have said that last night.
I didn't want to keep adding
time. I appreciate it. So I guess Dave, I'm actually a bit unclear as to exactly whether or not either Kensington Special District has a direct, like, is this in either of our district's purviews, or can we just?
Well, we enforce the park.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
So we have that obligation, you would say. The county is responsible, has the authority to define how they park.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you may recall, Lieutenant Hobbs made some attempt, at least starting with the three cul-de-sacs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall about York, but I know St. Albans, mm-hmm. Windsor, and he encountered some resistance from residents who did not want to switch the parking from going in to going out. And I think his idea or his attitude was he wanted everybody to agree to it. So that was part of the problem.
Well,
I'm
curious, because those are cul-de-sacs. If people want to park that way, we're concerned about what's above, not what's happening. If they don't want to do it, I heard these same stories. Farms approached them. They said, we don't want to do it. And that was the end. And then there was COVID, and now there's no red flag for anyone. But our frustration is even
on Purdue. Can you guys introduce yourself?
Yeah. We started the Mazak Fire Watch. Mm-hmm. I live at 139 Purdue.
I'm at 88 on Susan Blair. Okay.
And so we are a homeowners association. So starting the Fire Watch, we have the set community established that in January with Johnny's. Holding our hands, all of it. I've lived in this community for 30-something years. Johnny's the only one ever who has come up there to help us.
So we see a huge value. So I did listen to the fire board meeting from last month, and I have to say the tone of that was so negative to me and so frustrating. And we're up there trying our level best. We just a chipping day, a fire extinguisher, we're concerned. We're right on it. When they were redoing Kenyon, when they were doing that, and there was no concern about the only way that 50 to 75 people could get up to our property was going up Willamette. Willamette is a real problem. And I just recently listened to a KMAC meeting from 4 months ago when someone was trying to build a 4,000 square foot home on that empty lot. And the concern, and like 12 people representing Willamette showed up. They were talking about if they build a 7-bedroom house here, that's 7 more cars. Now, when I drive off Willamette, there's 14 cars always parked on that road. And as you drive up, you're like, I'm going to pull over here. And then you're hoping the guy is not going to go down there.
And nobody parks in their driveway.
Right. So there was no consideration during that entire period when you were doing, and I'm not sure who it falls on, to tell people on the land that parking is wrong so people can come up, go over there. So we have major concerns about the land because that's that we have one egress. That's going out for good.
We don't have multiple ways out.
So I don't have, you know, when Danielle, when you say, you know, this is not necessarily the fire board's issue, what has the other board done, or are they not concerned? Or is it?
Well, okay, so I'm the president of the other board. It's not there. And I also think, I think we have met before.
Of course, I think we've been a mentor, so we have at least one.
So, as I said, there has been some attempt, and that's with Lieutenant Hobbs trying to change the parking mentality to sit on the on those three cul-de-sacs, and also on Purdue, he had some discussions with residents who seemed to be quite receptive to switching the parking on the other side.
I'd call it 50-50, but yeah.
That's something. But it isn't, as I think it would have alluded to, it isn't as easy as just saying we're going to flip it to the other side. We have to convince the Contra Costa County Public Works Department, and there are also competing interests too. AC Transit, their buses go up Purdue, and my knowledge, they're not excited about parking on the other side of the street. So there are these competing interests. Certainly, we can continue, that is, PCSB, to try to convince first residents the importance of flipping the parking to the other side. And if we can convince everybody of that, going to county and say, let's see if we can do this, given all the other constraints that are out.
Why the focus on the cul-de-sac?
Well, because that...
I think it would just be easy.
Well, it's both easy and also the most vulnerable to public safety problems. I mean, because you're facing the wrong way. At least on Purdue, you have the opportunity to go out of there, even though it's, you know, going the other direction. And in fact, I'll be honest, I parked in my garage facing up. Park on the street. And if I'm told to evacuate, I'm not going down here. I'm going down Spruce. That's the direction.
Okay.
So I've already made that decision. And others need to think about that. That's not to say that we shouldn't be making attempts to provide parking that's favorable for that direction. But I think we need to think the whole thing holistically, what's the best way out? And we attempted to do it with a flyer that I hope everybody has looked at and, you know, decided what are the best ways. I understand your predicament. You only have one way.
Well, most people up on the roof in our private area should go run or have electric bikes at this point. We don't trust being able to be on the train.
It seems like, I get the AC transit, which I hadn't really thought of, going down Kenyon. Willamette, on the other hand, seems like a fairly simple thing to just go park in your driveway, and then if there's after park, I guess, do it on the other side going down, because they're not, people on that street aren't going to come up and go down Spruce. They're going to try and get down to the Arlington.
Right.
So, but everybody's going to be turning around and nobody's going to be able to get down there. So that seems like an easy one. And then work on Kenyon maybe also.
Well, certainly. I think if there is, see, Public Works, for some reason, they want complete buy-in, which is sort of crazy, but it is, that's their attitude.
Conflict diverse.
Yeah,
conflict diverse.
When we say easiness is determined by the number of people that you have to convince. Mm-hmm. The cul-de-sacs are easy because there's only three or four houses that you have to convince.
Not easy.
Not easy, but...
I started in 1990 after the Oakland fire. I came to this board, Danny Goto was the president, got her endorsement, went to the KPPCSD board, Chuck Toon, got their endorsement. I hand carried a letter to all my neighbors. Nobody on York objected. We are all part going toward the cul-de-sac and have to make a U-turn run. I also shared my letter with Gloria Morrison on Windsor and Mrs. Mandak, who passed away in St. Alban, for their neighborhood. We had no objection. I came back to the KPPCSD board, and they contacted the county. The Public Works gentleman and the chief of police and Lance Maple, I can't remember who the chief of police was. They came out. The county said there is a curb at the very by the third house on York. That's considered a blind curb, and so you cannot park on that side of the street. And we would have lost one parking space, which we did not object to, but they denied that then. So as a consolation prize, we convinced them to let us on a red flag days park on the side of the street that we park, but park aiming out.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, for 50 years, I have parked my car in my driveway looking out.
Yeah.
But our concern now is double. First of all, those days we weren't really so concerned about fires, and you know, it was earthquake that we were worried about. Mm-hmm. We have a path, the Willamette Path comes down. I urge all of you to walk the steps from York to Arlington. The adjoining property to this path is a... it's ready to burst.
Yes.
And so that's our other evacuation. So we either have to run down the steps, and believe me, at my age, I'm not sure if I'll make it.
And in smoke, and maybe in the dark.
Mm-hmm. Or try to, at this point, all the cars coming toward the end of the cul-de-sac to make a turn to go out. Now, since 1992, there's only two neighbors left on our street that are... Mm-hmm. owners from that era. Frankly, to my disappointment, the younger, newer owners are not that concerned and actually don't. And response to communications on that. But those of us old folks at the end of York, we can see all our cars are in out to go. So Johnny asked me when he came, and I really want to second what you said, that he's such an asset to the community. And he talked to the neighbors, and we're all concerned. Right now, I'm sitting here, and my only evacuation out of my house is for my husband and I to run down our next door neighbor's yard because his son happens to own the house in front of him, and we have a key to the gate to get to Arlington. No way are we going to try to go down that path.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many of you have lived here as long as I have, but back in the 80s, there was a fire down on Franciscan, and a piece of amber flew all the way up to a house on Windsor, just about above York, the third or the fourth, burned the roof of that house. Nothing in between. So, you know, I appreciate, you know, all the, that we have to concentrate on the bridge. But, you know, it can happen anywhere in the population. If we don't know which way, we know we're supposed to go down toward the cemetery. Please tell me how I, on my 2 feet, I don't even care if I drive my car. How do I get down? And right now, you know, we don't have any. So.
Do you want to?
Yeah, I just wanted to add one thing to this discussion, and I don't know how it would be influenced, but it just seemed like a timely moment for it. In terms of parking changes that I think could have a big benefit for the community, I worry a lot about the top of Sunset in Arlington, because that's where so many people are going. And I want to add that right now, that the house that I think uses that parking place is up for sale. So this is a moment where there are going to be new people coming in who don't have a stake in having that parking there. So I don't know if there's anything to be done and done quickly, but it seems to me like there's an opportunity, and that's a pinch point that's going to affect a significant fraction of the Kensington population when they're trying to evacuate.
All right, I just want to jump in.
Where specifically are you pumping?
It's right where that pumping like turn is down.
But it's on
Sunset. Just
southwest corner.
Just when you turn onto Sunset from Arlington,
yeah.
There's, you said it's two or three.
There's three cars that are always there and get carried in one spot.
Well, that's if you make it.
Yeah, if you manage to make it.
You're like, you're done. You're talking about the
Porsche
and the end of
that. Not even the, I mean, that's a little further down. To me, the stuff that's right, the top of it, that creates, that also seems like a, you know, anyone who's coming up from that, when there's not an evacuation, that's sort of the main, like, avoid a head-on.
Certainly. I drive it every day. So let's just, taking a step back for a second, there's things that we can do and there's things that we can't do. No one, even the county, can compel people to not park in the street unless they just say, there is no parking on the street. They just put up no parking signs on the thing. There's not a public agreement. You can't enforce it unless you say, there is no parking on the street. I don't think either Kensington Special District can just say, yeah, that's what we're doing now.
So we can request it.
We can request it. There can be a lot of pushback to it. And the county is very averse, and frankly, we're not that important to them. So, like, it's easy for them. Even if all of us say, no, there's 80 of us and we demand it, they're like, cool, there's a million people in Contra Costa County.
Do they ever come here and walk it and, like, look at it?
No.
I mean, it seems like if somebody actually came here and walked down with us and said, picture this, you have 10 minutes to get down the hill. Picture this and see, what would you do if you were one of those cars? How would you get out?
I mean, I don't think that they would. I don't think anyone in this room objects to does not agree that it is clearly an issue getting out of Kensington in the event of an evacuation or something like that. And I think that the people that, even if you could get them to come, which I'm not even sure you could, they don't care.
Well, beyond care, I mean, is there something, if it's a demonstrable risk to the community,
mm-hmm.
and they, through inaction or refusal to act on request, are causing a hazard to persist. Is there some way that that could be leveraged to compel action outside of their benevolence?
So the discretionary immunity for actions by state governments, basically, or state governments, by governments in general in California, so you can't get sued personally for like making a bad choice if it's reasonable to make a bad choice. So like it's definitely a thing that can be argued. But you're at the end of the day, you are still sort of throwing your feet at the good graces of, I don't actually know if these things, decisions get decided by Public Works directly, or if they have to escalate all the way to like, they can make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, also they vote on it.
They
can
come and measure, we went through the whole nine yards with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we stood there, and I stood with Johnny in the middle of our street and showed him exactly what they're talking about. Yes, there is a tiny curve, but then, you know, you got to judge apples with apples, you know, which is more important, losing one parking space there,
right,
or not
the
there.
Safety of the people.
What you can ask, I totally agree with you, the county's not going to do anything for us. Grudgingly, they will come out here and they'll find a reason not to do it because they just assume we go away and not be part of it. Just say, pay our taxes, that's all they want. But you can request from the park, from the county to mandate parking on the wrong side of the street,
right,
the wrong
side,
way, you know.
Right.
It's not. It shouldn't be up to me to have to go to the new neighbors on a red flag day and knock. If you're home, please come and park your car near the way, because it only takes one car coming the wrong way.
Yeah.
To park the car. We can't cross each other. So that, I think the county might be agreeable to let the three cul-de-sacs do at least park where we are parking now, but take the pain of making the turn first.
I think the county would be willing with support from police department. I know I've talked to some of the officers, the new lieutenant, for example, who has gotten the county to make some changes. This is minor stuff, like painting red curbs, because there's a high risk on cars. And they agreed to it, principally because the police have asked them to do it. So from my perspective, if there is a consensus within certain streets, for example, the cul-de-sac being an example, then I think police and my board would be willing to say, let's go to the county with the police support to change people parking permanently or during red flag.
Well, that's what we did back in 1992.
Right, but that is not.
I guess you have to say, I guess the other thing is, like, at the end of the day, the only thing that the Kensington Special Districts can do, like, the strongest thing we can do is write a letter, essentially. We can pass a board resolution. We don't have any actual power or influence. So we can complain, and you can ask the police department to complain.
Well, we can, not only that, we could direct, you know, the chief, if you will, if there was a consensus for a certain street, as an example, to reach out to the county to change.
All right. That's what I mean by red letter.
Okay. And there's no sense of putting it as, allowing it to maintain is creating a hazard.
Oh, we can say that, and they will say that, but...
Well, I'll interject very quickly for you. Yes, there are a number of locations where there are hazards, but the problem is the county, they have a very interesting attitude. They don't like the precautionary principle approach to things. They want to see evidence that there is a danger, and usually in some cases that's an accident that's occurred on the corner, and then they will take an action. And the perfect example of that is down at Kenyon Purdue Corner there, where they agreed with the insistence of the police department to paint one red part of that corner red, because there was an accident there as a result of the shock to that corner.
Lisa,
okay, thank you. Are you done?
I'm through.
Good answer, Lisa.
Apologize.
I just want to say a couple of things. Number one, there already is an evacuation traffic study that identifies everything we're talking about
in terms of recommendations. This was done by UC graduate PhD students. It's an excellent study, so there's substantiated evidence of what is a best practice. The next thing is the county, my goodness, is massive in some ways. You know, they there's risk involved in everything that they do. And so they're making a calculation on what is that risk. I would also recommend, I mean, not only is this a campaign with the community, but people on the streets and the community at large to say, we all want this. This will make our community safer. That's like a whole campaign issue, which God knows who has the time to do that. But, you know, and but on the other hand, it's like bringing all of that to John Gioia's office. He has a great influence on like kind of seeing how far he can get public works to bend on certain things, and having him as part of the, not orchestrating it, but understanding and being a liaison with public works on behalf of our districts mm-hmm. is also an effective tool.
He has been effective with pushing public works. We had a major pothole in front of, basically in front of my house. and it was a real pain in the butt. We sent lots of messages, we sent lots of things, we filed lots of things. Nothing ever happened until the bicyclist took a header off and got a concussion. And then I called John that night, and the next day someone from Public Works came out and patched it.
Right.
So
I think it would be
I think
it would be very effective for both districts to support these changes.
Mm-hmm.
So there is the kind of agency support moving forward, even if not every single person in the community agrees.
Mm-hmm.
So that is just another tool in the toolbox that can help move this forward.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and like Lisa just said, if that were a motion, I would second it.
Yeah.
Well, we must include that
traffic
report.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really extensive.
Going to John. I'll
find and see if I can send
Just one thing I would say on this, if there's any sort of action on it, which I would support, given particularly how difficult this sounds, focusing on cul-de-sacs doesn't seem to me like the priority thing. It seems like we need to figure out where are the points for the community as a whole where the evacuation need is strongest and they're the most beneficiaries of that. The cul-de-sac can straighten that, I think, is a small group of people who should be able to straighten that out on their own. We should find, whether they do or not. But finding the spots that there's a large number of community beneficiaries for a small effect in terms of number of parking spots or other, I would contend, it sounds like the study has that. It seems to me that Sunset location is an example of that, and focusing our energies on that rather than cul-de-sacs would produce the greatest benefit, given it sounds like it's gonna be a slog.
It would definitely be a slog. I guess the flip side of that to it having a lot of impact on the community is it has a lot of impact on the community, which sort of increases the risk from the county's perspective of, oh God, this is going to change things for hundreds of people. That'll be a whole nightmare. So
mostly better.
But, yes.
But you know, if they think about it, like just the worst case, but say there's a fire in the canyon.
That's a risk.
And yes, and we all have to get out in 5 or 10 minutes. We're not going to get much notice. And everybody, it all jams up because Willamette's cluster and Kenyon's a mess, and you know, and there's, you know, how many, maybe 80 people in our little spot, and then the other people, and we all, okay, and we try and get down, and we can't get down in our cars, and some people aren't ambulatory, so they can't get out, and the fire comes, and then in retrospect, when they do a review of what could we have done, what went wrong, and what could we have done. That to me seems like a pretty good point to make, that, you know, we could have saved the lives of 100 people, but, you know, they couldn't get out because everybody
it was
too complicated, and everybody, like, you know, couldn't make it.
Right.
Anyway, it's just the worst case. But I'm just saying that if they're just thinking, gee, it's like kind of a pain for us to have to turn people around and park someplace else, maybe think of the safety of the people that are involved. And if we don't get out, And then the fire comes racing. I mean, you know, we're like the point, we're like the first point of contact with fires. And then everything goes downhill from there. So,
literally.
All right, so let's make a
This is has nothing to do with the county, but on Lake Drive where I live, I started a campaign to get people to park facing one way on red flag days. That was approximately 8 years ago. I ran into some people that were pretty cooperative initially, but now it's done. Although I made a few enemies, because when I come down the street on red flag days, they know why I'm walking down the street. Here he comes again, looking for somebody screwing up. And but I don't get the static I used to for the first 2 years. It works, and that just took a little bit of effort to maybe a little bit. But I just did it by talking to people, neighbors, and I don't. The police were cooperative. The fire department said they like it, and there was nothing formal. It had to be done. I admit this is just for red flag days, but that's a biggie, right? And they park there, and they know they should do it. We've done it for as many as the longest red flag day period, which I think has never been more than about 3 days, maybe. But it works. And all you have to do is talk to your neighbors. At least I know it sounds like a Band-Aid, but I think it's a good Band-Aid.
I was thinking about this. And as one of your elected officials, I would never suggest that encourage people break the law. But at the end of the day, the only person enforcing what side of the street you park on is the Kensington Police.
And they don't do it. They
so if you can get them to go along with it.
Yeah.
It's on the books, actually. They came to our house, I think it was under the Chief Sportsman. I got a ticket.
Oh, you parking. Did? That's where you got to get them on the same page.
He called me and he said, oh, sorry, you know. We found the verbiage that's on the book. So there is, I just mentioned it, maybe there is instructions with the police, at least for your Gavin.
But if you talk to them, they don't. Oh, nobody has ever gotten a ticket on Lake Drive in the parts between Beloit and Canyon. The other part isn't quite doing it yet. And if you come up there on a red flag day, and by 7 or 8 in the morning, I don't think you'll find one car at the side of the street. It just was a matter of talking to people. It wasn't easy, actually. They're always a couple bad actors. But they gave in.
Okay,
no, that's it.
Okay. Well, I think that's great. Lake Drive is unique in that it's very coordinated. What we're asking for is a street where we don't live on, and everyone from my house down has lots of parking. We're asking the community to cooperate with a concept, which I'm not, it's not clear to me, are we talking about just doing it on red flag or permanent? Because it seems to me that doing it just on red flag is confusing to
yes.
And you get into situations like yours.
How can it be confusing?
But yeah. They don't,
because people know that people don't.
And then they're used to doing it the other way. And then it's,
I mean, there are communities, my daughter lived in one of the Hollywood Hills, there are days when you cannot park on the street. In the Hollywood Hills.
And
people have to figure out where they're gonna park, if they park in their driveway, their garage, or somewhere else. And you know, they do it. It's a law. And you can't park. Just like you can't park on street sweeping days. Just like you can't
park. And the people in the Hollywood Hills can do it.
I know.
Okay. All right. So productive action. As much fun as it is to talk, what do we actually do going forward? So how do we actually execute this? I feel like a joint resolution from both districts has the most force, especially if we can get Sailors and Gancast on the record too. Thoughts, Dave?
No, I think we can get the chief. Chief of Police supported that. Same way we did with the guys in the Flyers.
Yeah,
I think
they
feel both of them. And Cass feel also important.
Mary has a question.
So are you talking about one or two, one resolution from each agency?
I was thinking, I didn't care the format, but a joint resolution is nice, but we can just have one from each agency.
Yeah, that can be a little bit tricky.
Okay. Okay, try one from each agency. I'm not picky, but I guess we can try to discuss what the scope of that would be if it's there's at least two options here, right? Red flag days or not, and cul-de-sacs versus a greater, you know, through streets. And or all of the, I guess, the third option, both of them. What do you think the KPCC has an appetite / the police department has an appetite for going after this time?
Well, I don't, given the risks, I think there's an appetite to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe we should have a joint resolution or a resolution by both boards to engage the county to identify, first of all, we want to identify the streets that we're talking about, the mm-hmm. red flag, because it's not a blanket thing by any ways, as well, Kensington. So trying to engage the county in a worthwhile effort to identify those streets that need to have parking changes, and whether it's just red flag, and maybe that's the best way to do it. Because I'm not sure that trying to get permanent parking, particularly in the near term, is doable. So I would think red flag would be the first step in identifying those streets where red flag change in parking would lower the risk.
Okay. So there's that traffic study that would place that.
Well, the traffic study principally showed, you know, where the intensity of cars would be and so forth. The other part of this whole thing too is going back to residents who live up in the, you know, east of the island to understand how they get out of Dodge, because what. The one problem with that one exercise we did,
mm-hmm.
you know, was that it shunted everybody down to Sunset.
Yes.
And that's not the viable way for many people to do it. So at least people who participate have this mindset that they got to go down. And I don't think that mindset has to change just from the education standpoint. So this is, to me, a multifaceted continuing the education process about evacuation, pre-evacuation, engaging the county to work with us on certain streets,
mm-hmm.
on red flag days, change the put the parking over. The police would not enforce, you know, the non-parking, and try to start from that perspective.
Yeah.
Mary, do you think we need to reach out to Public Works and start a dialogue before we make the resolution? Do you think that would be helpful?
To see if there's a recommended process or if something like this would even.
Yeah, / you know, how to, yeah, because ultimately we don't want to just, you know, scream into the void.
Right.
Okay.
So conversation first, and then.
Yeah, I don't know, it's pretty good. It's probably, I don't know who needs to initiate this conversation. I said, I don't know if it, you or David initiate this conversation. Okay.
Yeah, I can talk to my gentleman.
I just wanted to clarify. I mean, there are two facets of this that seem to have impact. One is actually getting rid of particular parking spots, and I understand that to be a harder thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the direction that cars face.
Mm-hmm.
And you started to suggest a scenario where it's like, well, it's our police department. They can make that choice of whether they're enforcing directional things, particularly when they're in a desirable direction,
mm-hmm.
or not. You mentioned an anecdote where you had once gotten a ticket, but I got confused about what you said when the chief contacted you. He said they have policies in place. I didn't
it's
understand.
Against,
so they have policies. They have an understanding that they're not supposed to enforce
on
that on your street specifically.
It's in writing.
In writing.
As I said, with a consolation from the county.
That actually seems to me to be a model of something that could be done at a Kensington-wide level, not needing the county, that could have big implications. Is if the police have that agreement and have the power to do that, which there seems to be precedent for, and that becomes... If that can be expanded beyond Lake to these other places where it's needed, then if they get that on the books, we have the possibility of communicating to the public, you can do this. We may not, it may be a harder task to require you to face the right direction, mm-hmm. the desirable direction, but any of you that want to, the way he did on Lake Street, you can. And that gets us a significant way in the better direction. Like, you have people start to do that, and maybe it spreads, and maybe it becomes more common on red flags. So that the engagement with the police on whether they would be willing to have that sort of agreement on record, either Kensington wide or in designated spots, would get us a lot without requiring any county action.
The question is whether or not the county okay, like, if whether or not the police had some directive from the county or something. You said there's something in writing. I don't know where that something in writing came from.
Well, there's a, when the county, the chief of traffic denied changing, as I said, the chief of police, chief of fire were there, and my response was, okay, so if I burn at the end of this street, I'm going to let my heirs know that it's your fault. Joking. And the county guy said, well, you know, we can do this, and you can park going this way, all of you. And the chief both agreed, and it is on the book. So I don't know whether really the chain of command is that the county guy needed to say that, or the chief of police could have done it on his own.
I guess we need to get that clarified.
And it's also, I think, quite different from Lake Street and cul-de-sacs to Purdue and Kenyon.
The AC transit is an issue because, of course, that's the bus drives in the direction where there isn't parked cars, right?
Right. because I guess so when we say we could park going down, are they going to park on the same side that they park going up, or are they going to switch it, flip it to the other side?
We get to the other side.
Mm-hmm. And pulling it into that on the drive, you can have two cars past it.
Yeah, it's a way.
Yeah,
and it's much harder. You go land it because they're
on
that.
Yeah.
So, and Kenyon's not the road either. So.
Well, yeah, neither is Purdue, Kenyon, all
Main
thoroughfare.
Yeah, right.
When I bought my house, it was funny because they said the appraisal was like, they knocked off $200,000 on the appraisal because you're on a main street. And I said, this is a main street.
It's a main street.
Yeah, that's true. And it's even the wider part.
Yeah.
There, plan of attack. We need to talk to the police to figure out exactly what the nature of their agreement with York is. With respect to that, and whether or not that can be replicated without action with the rest of the county. Two, if it does require action with the rest of the county, we need to find out who at the county we need to talk to get that going. Who?
Monish.
Okay, and we apparently know who that person is.
We do.
Some of us do.
Three, set up a meeting between whatever relevant parties in Kensington, which is probably the GMs, some subset of the GMs and the chiefs, to talk to this person. I don't know how that happens, that we're getting into the speculation territory. And then from there, I guess we can see where we're at and figure out what the district, what at the board of director level we can do. What letter, quite strongly worded letter we can write. All right, does that seem like a sensible plan of attack for now?
And then who's going to identify which streets?
We're not there. I mean, there's this traffic study.
I just sent it to Mary
okay.
to distribute to everybody on the board. And you give her your email before you go.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure she'll.
Isn't it being posted on?
It's posted.
It
it's posted.
I
it's
it.
Been posted quite some time.
Yeah, websites are hard to
find it.
I couldn't find it, but I did finally find it,
okay.
And I have the link, so I can send that to you, Mary.
Okay, you got better.
But one of them wasn't coming up. The project wasn't coming. Is not coming up, but the.
There's some ambiguity.
Yeah. No. Oh, the final report. It is coming up now.
Okay.
It wasn't coming up before. Okay. So. Put that.
Thank you, Daniel. I have to leave. No, may I make one request of this committee? I really appreciate the fact that you are taking the evacuation and the emergency preparedness so seriously. Many, many years ago, again, if we can't run down to Arlington, you know, the choice is to run up the hill. And this building here and the park next door is probably second safest to the cemetery. And we requested at one point for KCC to have this as an evacuation center, mm-hmm. and we can't because there are no shower facilities. Mm-hmm. Now, that was 30 years ago. If we could get a couple of modular facilities, I mean, we already have one bathroom but since then, put in the park and through here, but the showers, then at least we have got an option of using this more in terms of earthquake than fire. And I don't think,
can I use that as a shower?
I know the reason for it was because we didn't have showers.
No.
For seismic.
This is built to, you know, to get you out alive and get out and can't go back in. For a shelter has to be the same code as the fire departments, the police departments, it's a fire.
Yeah, it has to be built. There's a structural code that requires.
It's required for the sensors. I mean, I was in Lahaina, and believe me, what they were using as a shelter
right.
did not qualify to be a gardening shelter. So no. Anyway, it was an idea. I was going to say, I know we can raise the funds in the community for the modular showers if it was something feasible. If it's not, then I guess we'll
that's,
run down.
That's a problem for another day. I would also like to thank you for coming. We're not kicking you out or anything. I was just saying. But also, it sounds like you have strong opinions about emergency preparedness coordinator Johnny Boswell, which, as you know, his contract is up for renewal. So I strongly encourage, if you have an opinion, to make that opinion known to the board. Because if you think Johnny's great and doing great work and is trying to service the community, but no one says it at our board meetings,
right.
And the only people that show up saying, I hate him,
I know.
Then.
Don't worry, I won't get to it until like 9.
Okay, you guys.
You can make a written public comment.
Oh, yeah, you can email.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then our.
public.com at kensingtonfire.org.
Okay. Like, does it go to all the board members?
It just goes to the board president and the general manager.
And do they distribute it to everybody?
We read it at the meeting. Uh-huh. If you're not present. If you're present at the meeting, you have to read it yourself.
Okay.
Well, then I encourage the people to speak up because the board can only. The board only knows. Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Oh, this is
Daniel.
Yeah,
really how long you got?
We only have 20 minutes left, not even. So let's move along with the next item of business. So the next thing is the Jake Brancher report. So as a brief update, we did bring a resolution to the board of directors last night. That was the LRAD finding to see if they could be supportive. We did not take any action on that item. Partially because it was pointed out, it was observed that the board of directors, board of supervisors had just made their responses to the grand jury report, and also the sheriff's office has now made their response to the grand jury report, and that we should incorporate those responses into the district's, the board's response to the grant charity report. So
I haven't found the count,
the sheriff's one.
No, I found the sheriff's. I emailed that to everybody. It's the board of supervisors. Julie mentioned that it was discussed in their meeting, but I haven't looked at the meeting. And I'm where I go is under the report they have when they receive a response, they put it, they add it, and the board of supervisors responds to it.
Well, then where?
That's the article from the newspaper.
Right? So yeah,
it's another newspaper. That's the East Bay Times.
Yes, I know. So
it's same.
They had Joya quoted, so I thought that that would be at least something.
Oh no, I agree with that, but it's not the report.
Correct. Okay. Oh, but I did send the official letter, emailed it to you a half hour before this meeting.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I know you don't
know. Sorry. Okay.
That's a sheriff's report.
This is the response by the sheriff. Okay. Who is the responding agency?
What's the status of this resolution?
The resolution, we didn't act on the resolution, so
ended up.
The board has not acted on it. We haven't done anything with it. We could act on it in the future or a modified version of it. Right now, I'm sort of skimming through the Board of Supervisors agendas. Of course, they have a lot more meetings than we do.
This
Board of Supervisors is August 13th. That should be the agenda.
Well, to Paul's point,
12, 13,
is there any interest in expanding beyond the LRADs? As far as your resolution,
I think we have
I'm totally interested in doing that.
All of that. whatever the
I think it's a mistake to have one on there focusing on. I mean, it just sounds like we've just said that's the most important thing. It's also the one that's probably going to take the longest period of time to get approved and done, and especially the expense of doing that. Remember, it's going to cost just the community of Kensington thinking about $500,000 for 3 years. That was a rough estimate of 50,000 plus expenses for. No, I take that back. It was less, but it's still expensive. They inflated that for a reason. But there are things out here, like I think that if it's really correct, as I mentioned at the last meeting, that the county only can reach about 30%. Kensington's good, but the rest of the county apparently is really crappy in terms of the enrollment. Then they need to look at what doesn't cost that much money, and I think it would be really helpful is opt-out business versus the opt-in option. That, to me, not to have Kensington not have that on there, just sounds like we didn't think much of it or it doesn't apply to us. I would tend to really support the idea of what Dave just mentioned, is incorporating the other findings and recommendations. It won't be the whole list, I think, and then state that these are the main. But to just pick one out, sure, help to focus.
Well, I think we'd have to. I think we have to put that on a different agenda item because I'm not looking at that now, and I don't really remember all of those. Take action on something that.
I'm not proposing the action. I'm just proposing that the board and this committee look at this more carefully before any resolution goes up. I was afraid this was already ready to go. And had gone even.
It has, that resolution was presented to the board of directors, but no action was taken.
Okay.
They wanted to see the responses, hear more on the responses from the county sheriff. So that come back to this next meeting.
So I found the report in the sense that, it's maybe going to load. The board packet for the board of supervisors is 821 pages. And apparently it's item C25.
I'm sorry, the report back from the supervisors?
Yes.
800 pages?
No, that's just their board packet.
Oh.
Their whole meeting.
All right. Okay. Proposed response to grand jury report. All right. Should I?
So that might not even be their final, huh?
Well, their minutes say recommended adopt the blah, blah, blah. Okay. Yeah. Says approved item C25 to adopt report prepared by the county administrator as the board of supervisors response to the controversial warning, blah, 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 blah. Provided, revised report attached. Oh no.
Well, you're not going to read 800 pages.
No, I'm not. But I can, basically, I think we're getting close to finding what their response is, so we can circulate that.
And while you're doing that, I had just a chance to skim the sheriff's report. They seemed like they weren't in their response to training more people rather than their CWS free was, well, evaluating their phone tree situation, but they didn't seem like they were interested in changing having their CWS staff at all, which is, I find really bad.
Yeah, okay. Since every other municipality in the county does the former, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, does it the other way? There must be a reason for that.
Yeah.
Whoever's making the decision or the supervisor needs to look at it.
All right, I found their response. So they actually agreed, the Board of Supervisors agreed with pretty much all of the parts of the LRAD findings. They just, a response, agree with this finding. The only part they disagreed with was LRADs would be a part of the county's emergency response warning tools. Partially disagree with this finding. LRADs are not currently part of the county's emergency response tools. Until further study, the county cannot confirm whether they would be a meaningful addition to the emergency response tools. So a lot of disagreement, though, about the current process for improving the design and operation of the CWS for alerts not related to the blah, blah, blah initiatives. But that they agree. They said there is no formal body or process that brings in emergency response experts from emergency response committees in the county to focus on and advise solely on the design and operation of the CWS. They say, we disagree with that. It's this people. And... oh, the functioning effectiveness of the CWS can be improved. They say, no, it can't. It says, disagree with this finding. There is no need to establish a CWS advisory body. Existing county forms, as mentioned, the response to F32 above are the most appropriate for addressing concerns of the functionality and effectiveness of CWS and any improvement. What was the one about opt-in? What's the finding number? I can see what their response was to that. I guess
it's under this. So,
there you go. I think I found it.
What is it?
By R1, by March 31st, 2025, the Board of Supervisors should develop a plan to modify the CWS so that it automatically registers all available contact data for all county residents and businesses unless they opt out. Response, the recommendation has been implemented.
Can you say that again?
The recommendation has been implemented. In addition to direct CWS registrations to ongoing public education committees, the county CWS automatically registers contact data into a system via reverse 911. And contract with utility providers. Automatic registrations are done as permitted by federal and state laws and have a mechanism in place for business and residents to opt out. Since the CWS includes both opt-in and opt-out approaches, there is no need to develop a separate plan to modify the CWS system as recommended. The county is currently working on expanding automatic registration contact data sources, which may include power, water, and other utility companies in accordance with state law.
Daniel, I can't think that fast.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What it struck me is that...
Well, we got 10 minutes left, so that's what I'm looking at.
I mean, the thing that struck me as being most problematic, the off-duty aspect of the CWS, because they had to call, had to bring people in, and there was obviously delays there. And Chief Sailors made the point a couple of meetings ago, you probably have 15 to 30 minutes to get out of town. And if there's going to be delays in just getting an off-duty, duty officer there and so forth, I mean, I don't know how it functions in real time.
Well, there's delays getting somebody there. They have 10 minutes to respond, then they have another 10 minutes to
respond. Right,
then they call somebody else, then the other person has to start figuring out what to say for the alert. So,
yeah,
it's like we're talking,
self-immolation.
We brought this up last time, that never should be.
That to me is probably the most critical aspect of this whole thing.
Yeah, it is. I think so. Dave, you were here, but I gave an example of one search person has something called a boo phone during the
last.
Yeah, and that phone never is off, and it's always in the search manager's pocket and backups for it too.
And that,
so that the important message, there's no delay in finding.
But anyways, I mean, that, I don't know whether there's an interest you're about to
incorporate
to change the resolution to.
Yeah.
I mean, we can absolutely change the resolution. It doesn't sound like we're going to come up with in the next 8 minutes what that resolution is going to be.
Let's do that next month.
Bring that back.
We'll bring back next month.
I found
the revised.
Just real quickly, though, I was interested in your thoughts. I know it went fast on what they said about the opt out, because it sounds like they're saying it's taken care of. We don't need to worry about it. It's taken care of. We're doing that.
Yes.
Yeah. Does that match?
Is that correct?
That's what they said. What they said is the county automatically registers contact data into its system by reverse 911 and contracts with utility providers. Automatic registrations are done as permitted by federal and state laws and have a mechanism in place for businesses and residents to opt out. Since the CWS includes both opt-in and opt-out approaches, there is no need to develop a separate plan to modify the CWS system as recommended. The county is currently working on expanding automatic registration contact data sources, which may include power, water, and other utility companies in accordance with state law.
So it sounds like they're working on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Because it's obviously, because only 30% are signed up.
Yeah.
A lot much higher number would be signed up if that opt out only.
I think they, about 30% of, to defining about 30% of county residents have created a CWS account and entered their contact data. They said agree with this finding.
Right.
So I guess they don't dispute that. The next finding, however, the converse is different. Finding number three was approximately 70% of residents who have not registered with CWS may not receive any alerts in the event that other alerting tools not reliant on registration from CWS are not activated. Their response was disagree with this finding. Though the county agrees that approximately 30% of county residents have registered, it does not correlate with an approximately 70% who may not receive any alerts. Each emergency alert is chosen to target individuals in specific areas that may be at risk or danger. Therefore, a fixed percentage of residents that may or may not receive alerts in a specific geographic area would be an oversimplification. Furthermore, alerts and notifications include residents that have self-registered with CWS, as well as those whose contact information is obtained through reverse 911, ATT data, and will continue to be obtained via contracts with other utilities as provided by federal and state law. So they're saying, so what if a bunch of people not in the path of these dangers aren't signed up? Who cares? They're not in the path of the dangers. I guess that's an argument. I'm sending out to everyone's email
I guess I was asking all this just within the context of, I thought at the beginning of the meeting that you made a very nice case about the importance of opt-out, and that that's a high benefit thing worth emphasizing. And I would support the idea of having that in our letter. Is that something that we could quickly decide at this point to recommend adding to the letter?
But there are other ones to consider too. So.
Yeah, I'm just saying with the available time you'd made that case, we could, because it seems like, isn't the board going to take this up at their next meeting before we've met again? Wouldn't it be nice just to get that in? Or if there's not desire for that,
I'd consider one.
Well, can you defer the resolution until the next EPC meeting so we can agendize it?
And then we can.
And,
yeah, absolutely.
That may make more sense in piecemealing.
Yeah.
I'm open to whatever the committee wants to do in terms of recommendation. If you wanted to sort of, we didn't really discuss the language. The resolution last time, we just sort of asked Mary, like, can you write a resolution that says we support these findings?
Well, I would recommend that you hold off on the resolution until we can agendize it at the next EPC.
And that'd be recommended in board.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
Don't move it.
So our next EPC meeting, as Greg mentioned, is of course after the September regular meeting of the board of directors. So the soonest the board would act on it would be the October regular board meeting.
There's no significant downsides to that in terms of the impact of the letter?
I'm not.
That's assuming the letter has impact.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I didn't want to say that.
But yeah, I mean, it is timely is good, but I mean, the only other option is to have another EPC meeting on just that one subject.
Okay. Yeah.
And call people together to just review that, but you guys are all moving down.
Okay. That's
especially
fine.
After last night.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I wanted to ask another question about the work you did leading up to your discussion about how the supervisors have responded to different issues. Is there been any resolution as to whether or not, as the sheriff is saying, 90% of people in Richmond by their, I don't know how they figured it out, but by they say 90% of people in Richmond during the food drills just a few years ago received the test call, the drill from CWS, whereas the name of the group, the grand jury,
mm-hmm.
said it's only 30%. There's a hell of a difference between 90 and 30. Is there any idea who's right?
I don't. Well, my impression is that the grand jury report, you know, they said that they hadn't been conducting drills or, you know, practices. And that's not true because we know we had one. We had CWS helped us did ours.
That's right.
And so I suspect that the grand jury report is not right in that case, in the case of, you know, that finding. So the other finding I have.
I'm talking about the 30 versus 90%.
Okay. Yeah. And so 30, I thought with the whole county.
Can we hear Johnny's report?
Yeah.
Oh,
say
yeah.
Johnny.
Because we can talk about this forever.
Yep. Johnny, all right, go for it.
Oh, am I doing my report?
Or well, you had your hand raised.
Oh,
so.
I was gonna say it could be that the grand jury report is maybe only looking at subscriptions, whereas the CWS has the capability of targeting a geographic area and hitting all the devices in a given area that they can determine where to target. So that may just be the discrepancy and how their reach is being counted. Yeah. But I can go into my report if you need me to.
Yeah, we had National Night Out. And we
have... Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Let me get that up. Just 1 second.
Okay, while you're getting that up, I was going to say, I forgot.
Fair enough. All right. You will all head home to a million emails from Danielle and I of responses to
great.
Granger. Yeah.
Oh, and then also the traffic.
And the traffic studies.
Okay, here's the report for the Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for August 2024. We have CERT training beginning on October 2nd. You can register at kensingtonfire.org/CERT, and that goes to the information page. There's a link on there to register. I reached out to the fire department to see how many people are registered, and the last number that I had from a couple days ago that there are 12 spots left, so it is filling up.
Oh yeah, and where is it going to be? You know,
it'll be in a number of different places around the area. So I noticed that the location changes from a community room or so it just depends. And it's not on a particular day of the week the entire way through because it follows one of the shifts. So it's going to be a little bit more of a dynamic situation with the location changing and the day changing. So just be aware of that. So on the website that I have there, kensingtonfire.org/CERT, it has all the details on there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Last week, we had the community assessment with Fire Marshal Chase Beckman and representatives from Red Tail Ridge. We also had Annette McCubry from the Tilden Firewise area that's in pursuit as well. She joined us, and we went around down Grizzly Peak, around Los Altos, and ended up back at the other end of Grizzly Peak to... you know, look at the homes, look at the different things that could be done to improve home hardening and defensible space around the area, around the homes. So it was really informative. Every time Fire Marshal Beckman has these presentations. Everyone, you know, really loves how he relays this information. He's very, he's really approachable, and I really enjoy being around it as well. I mean, there's times where he's really funny too. So I think everyone really loves these presentations. They get a lot out of it. And when I posted this information online, we had a couple inquiries come through. So those were forwarded to the Fire Prevention Division for follow-up. So the awareness is growing. People want to know how to improve their properties because these presentations are being conducted. And as a result, we have, here's this map. See these little red dots on the map? Those are inquiries about additional information on FireWise. So those are areas on Coventry and on Beloit, just below the Red Tail Ridge area and below Purdue, where they saw this information about the activities of, you know, assessments and fire prevention activities in the community, and they want to know more information about setting up FireWise. So it's too yet to determine how developed those conversations are going to be, but it's piquing interest, and at least those are touch points that I can follow up with and develop those relationships to establish block parties and hopefully future FireWise communities and community preparedness events where we can reach the community. So as you can see here, Red Tail Ridge is in yellow. Tilden is still in yellow. They have their applications in pursuit. Because the assessment was done in Red Tail Ridge, they're a step ahead of Tilden. So, you know, just continuing to reach out to the residents there and provide support and, you know, hopefully seeing this through the application submittal phase. That way we can get more recognized FireWise communities developed in Kensington. I reached out to Berkeley Fire, our Kevin Revilla with Berkeley Fire, to see how we can develop more interaction across the Berkeley-Kensington border. Because in Cerrito Canyon, because of National Night Out, we also have an uptick on interest in FireWise development there as well. So I'm waiting to hear back from Kevin. I'll have a meeting with him soon, hopefully within the next week or two, so that way we can develop kind of a plan of attack and bringing up these areas along the Berkeley-Kensington border. Hopefully we can have some kind of joint community, FireWise community developed there. So more to come on that. To support the interaction between Kensington and East Bay Regional Parks, we received this photo about a dead tree along the ridge line. I think it was behind Maybeck. So I reached out to Patrick, the fire captain at East Bay Regional Parks, to let him know about this tree, and he was aware of it. They already had put in a work order to have it taken care of. So I just wanted to make note of that we do have that relationship, and we are always, you know, kind of in communication, and they are responsive to some of the requests that are coming through on the ridge line.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yes. You're welcome. Yeah. The fire plug, I'm already starting to do a layout for the October publications, which will have the hazardous vegetation grant announcement, the shredding event, the evacuation campaign reminder, you know, just breaking out that campaign that we put out in June again, so that we constantly have that circulating through the community. Red flag warning sign up, some FireWise news, and then the tips that came from the insurance commissioner about the best practices in selecting new fire insurance coverage if there's a cancellation or a non-renewal notice coming to your door. So more to come there. But I just want to give you a heads up. If you want something, feel the need to insert additional content, please let me know, because we've got a short on-ramp to get that out. National Night Out. We had our hands full with all these block parties. I don't know if you've seen this video that we had published, but it was put out the next door, which also generated a little bit more buzz on presentations that we can give. I inadvertently had left a block party off of the list that went out to Kensington Police and Fire. So I will be doing a special presentation to them in the beginning of September, and that includes the CERT Area 6. So we're going to have a large Zoom presentation on, let me see, where is that? Oh, did that start playing with audio? That video?
That's
I don't know
okay.
If I want to play it, so I'll just skip that slide. But I did a poll with the hosts, and some of the feedback that that came in from the hosts were, let's see, the attendance for the block parties were either met expectations or exceeded expectations. Some, there were like very few parties that participated in this poll that said, you know, it lacked the engagement that they hoped for. So it looks like we're right about on target with meeting community expectations and growing the outreach and these block parties. This one was, would you like to plan an emergency preparedness block party with the fire district emergency preparedness coordinator? Some of them needed more information about that. I gave each of the hosts a pamphlet of like a handout of the neighborhood emergency block parties that I've conducted with the polls. So each of them had received that, and I reminded them of this. And so we have two block parties. Like I said, one of them is Zoom. The other one is on Kingston. Which actually I'm getting ahead of myself. So I'll just leave this slide and go to this one. The materials provided the police and fire were just about what people needed. So I think people were happy about the information that were provided, especially the posters, which helped them guide the information that we needed to be put out there. So I attended four, I did four presentations that night, which was it. I had hoped to do more, but I think some of them that listed that they were starting earlier didn't get to a start until much later. So I think that sweet spot is about the 6:30 to 8:30 time frame. And it I think it's just really difficult to get to, you know, 19 block parties within an hour and a half with all of police, fire, and myself. So which is why I think we need to just pre-stage materials and kind of have a training with these hosts and kind of empower them a little bit more to be presenters. So the three topics, the top leading ones were evacuation and parking obstacles, wildfire preparedness, and earthquakes. The other two topics of concern were car break-ins, home burglaries, and other. I don't know what the other is. So I guess we'll have to define that over the next, you know, coming months in preparation for the next one. Like I said, we have two block parties. One is a Zoom call and the other one is on Kingston in September. So I'm preparing to get those. And if anybody would like to join on those to see how they go and to be assistants, I'm happy to have you on board. Are there any questions?
No, Tony, great.
Good job.
I just want to let people know that last night at the meeting, the district board did nod okay to the...
We didn't more than nod okay, we accepted it.
We accepted the proposal for the grant for the vegetation removal grant program. And so there's been just one addition of a review by the board, and then Johnny will develop... Assume Johnny will develop all the application pieces, and we can take a look at those.
One concern that was raised was to have the criteria very clearly spelled out before the applications come.
That's right, absolutely. So at this point, I think, and I don't know if you want to do it now or the next meeting, which is fine, but a subcommittee to kind of put together that criteria and also to be the folks who go around and review the sites, the applications, and help evaluate them is something that we should put on the agenda for next time.
Okay. Making a subcommittee. I think we can make a subcommittee. If I can make an ad hoc committee of board directors, I certainly can make a subcommittee of public members. So,
subcommittee within this.
Of this
I mean, not everybody's here, but.
Yeah. Would anyone particularly want to be on that subcommittee?
You want to work on the grant program, helping develop the criteria and kind of reviewing the sites that are proposed, making recommendations to the.
I think I'd rather not.
But I
don't. No, I was thinking about before you asked.
Yeah.
That was a conscious choice.
Well, I'll, if you're going to do it, I'll join you.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Would we like,
can start there.
Yeah, you're retired. You have plenty of time to research.
We can run around and do that. There may be other people on the board. I mean, you can start with us three, and then we've got to make sure we don't can join,
do a majority.
Three is fine, I believe, right?
I want a quorum.
Yeah, three is fine. So we have seven members, is that right? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven public members, and then two board members. So we have nine members. So three is fine.
I was thinking, I thought Adrienne was interested, or she seemed...
Yeah, I mean, I think we should reach out to other folks, too, so, you know, we can have up to four.
Yeah, you're maximum
and then
four.
We get back, somebody can leave or stay on.
Yeah.
We don't know what...
But okay, that sounds tentatively, Lisa, Dave, and Paul,
sure.
And maybe Adrienne, if she is interested. All right, I think it's most of the things that we wanted to cover today. It always would be the work plan, but I think we sort of had that discussion. We have sort of a plan of attack for these parking things, and we'll review the grantor, all the responses to the grantor reports, and make a new recommendation for a resolution at our September EPC meeting for review of the board at the end of October. Great. All right. Thank you, everyone.
I was the first evaluation.